Amen. It's good. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. I was like really struggling with the Lord about the fall series I'm kicking off today because I was like, I had several things in my mind, and then the Lord had me go to this gathering of just a network of kingdom leaders, people who really are all about transformation. And it's just a small gathering. It's just a very relational gathering, about maybe 25, 30 people. And there's kingdom leaders from all over the Northwest and church, some church leaders. And the Lord just, wow, it was like, yes, I have to speak on the kingdom. I have to speak on the kingdom of God. It is a topic, okay? It is a topic of the Bible, not just the New Testament. I want to just read some scriptures this morning, lay some groundwork. Today, I'm going to teach a little bit more than I'm going to preach, although a little preaching may sneak out. A little preaching may just leak out, okay? I may just get on my preach on just a tad bit, especially if I think you're starting to sleep. But I will mostly teach. Let's go to the Word. Psalms 145, 11 and 13. All your work, this is the Old Testament, all your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithfulness shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, the glory of your kingdom, and tell of your power. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures through all generation. The Hebrew people understood that God had a kingdom. They knew about it. In fact, they were waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. And this is why in the book of Matthew, which is written just to the Jews, he says it's the kingdom of heaven, because they thought it was going to be a material, literal kingdom where like, you know, a guy like David would sit on the throne and would rule that way. In this kingdom, we're called to subdue the earth, but not subdue people. We serve people, but we subdue creation. Those are two different things. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He's the king that takes all of Israel into slavery. And he takes the royal court and he brings them into their royal court. And Daniel was one of them. And he has this dream. And in the dream, there's a statue in the tree that's got a golden head. And it just goes down. You guys know the story. Till it finally has feet of clay. And suddenly a rock comes through and breaks that statue down. And he knows this is something really big. And he's in torment about what the meaning of it is. And Daniel gets the meaning. And this is what Daniel says about this dream. Because this dream was an announcement that God had a kingdom and he was coming. Watch this. And in those days of the kings, this is the explanation that Daniel gives. So in the days of the king, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall this kingdom be left to another people. It shall crush all these kingdoms and it will bring them to an end, and it will stand forever. And before the end of days, Nebuchadnezzar himself would make this proclamation about the coming kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar said this: how great are his signs, how mighty are his power. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his sovereignty is from generation to generation. So even heathen kings get a revelation of who the King of Glory is, and that he's coming with his kingdom. This kingdom has everything to do with our lives here and now, and it has everything to do with our eternal life. Because in this kingdom we shall dwell all the days of our life. It is in this kingdom we shall know and explore the love of the King of Glory, who loved us and gave his life for us. This is a kingdom that will last forever. This kingdom has everything to do with making right what is wrong with our own lives and what is wrong with our world. It is not an ethereal. We say, look at clouds and etherealness. This kingdom is real, and it can fix everything that's wrong. Everything. Everything. Marriage, sickness, demonic oppression, government, education, poverty, everything that is wrong, the kingdom can make right. The gospel of the kingdom is the message that Jesus came preaching. And if you read the gospels, you see that he starts his ministry with, the kingdom of God is near. Repent, believe, come on, and enter in. Jesus was describing to the people, something's about to come on the earth that has not existed since the fall of Adam. Something's about to happen here that you have no idea how good it is and how wonderful it is. And it's that gospel of the kingdom that we're commanded to take into all the world. It's the gospel of the kingdom that he discipled his disciples in. He did it by sharing parables, which are just little short stories that bring about an illustration or the moral attitude of the kingdom. And in Matthew 13 alone, there are 6 parables on the kingdom of God. Some of them are a couple of sentences long. Some of them are paragraphs. But here's just an example. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. For the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. That's how powerful and amazing the kingdom. The kingdom is worth everything that we could ever give up. Now, this parable tells us what Jesus did for us. That he found us and he gave heaven up for us and then brought us into the kingdom. But the church is supposed to also extend the kingdom. We too are supposed to leave what's comfortable. We're supposed to leave what's good and lovely and all that, and go into the darkness and bring the treasures out of darkness. This is the work of the kingdom. This is extending the king's reign of righteousness. Because by him I am made righteousness. It's not by any works that I have done, but it's according to his grace that he saved me. On the cross I was reconciled to him, and in the resurrection I became alive. And him. And now because of that, I don't have to live according to my righteousness. I get to live according to his righteousness. And that righteousness produces in me a peace that surpasses all understanding, that rules my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. A peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that just blows you away, because it has nothing to do with circumstances. It has to do with who you walk with daily, day in and day out. And if that peace produces also a joy. A joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that, again, does not have to do with what is happening. That's happiness. But joy has to do with who I know. Who's alive in me. The one who the Bible says he had more joy than all his brothers. Jesus is the most joyful person in the universe. Come on. He is happy. He's a happy God. All these people think God's mad. It's like, where do you get that idea? Jesus is happy. And I'll show it to you. I'll prove it to you this morning. If we're going to understand the message of the kingdom, we got to understand that when he commanded us to pray, your kingdom come, he was hoping that something would grip in our hearts, that it becomes a compelling vision of transformation for our lives and for communities and for the world, to free people from the clutches of hell, which is why Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom. Come on, because wherever oppression lives, I can go with the keys of the kingdom and set the oppressed free. Come on, wherever there is that oppression, I can go in and I can then loose the joy of salvation. I can loose the hope of glory. That's what I'm called. Oh, I'm starting to preach now. I got to get back to teaching. Here it is. So this will be the purpose. This is to be the purpose of a church in any neighborhood and in any place, any city or region. But what happens is that everyone thinks that that's the mission for the elders or the really on those guys, and I just got to go to work tomorrow. Nope. It doesn't work that way. That's wrong thinking. We need to transition our thinking, because this is a mandate for every son and daughter. We all carry the kingdom of God within us, according to Luke 17. So we need to cultivate the kingdom within us, because and bring it about into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, guys, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is in you by the Holy Spirit. So he's like, well, I don't know what to do. Become dependent on the Holy Spirit. Go to Friday Night Fire. Get filled up. Because why? Because the kingdom of God starts to leak out of you wherever you go. You can start to release righteousness. You can start to release peace. You can start to release joy, because all of that is in you by the Holy Spirit. How much transformation we're supposed to carry? Enough to transform the kingdoms of this world into the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. How much of the kingdom values we reflect will determine how much heavenly influence there is in places that there is no heavenly influence, unless we enter into those places. And this is why Father's House is here. Yeah. This is why we exist. Father's House is not a place to attend church, because church is not a place. It's not. Church is a family of people working together as sons and daughters, extending our Papa's kingdom wherever we go, together and then as spokes out of the hub. Okay? And everyone is called to be part of this mission. And if you have ears to hear this morning what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, you will have been hearing transition is here. Not coming. Transition is here. And you better start transitioning. Because you cannot operate in the manna of yesterday. You cannot operate in the wine of yesterday. In the time where there's the kingdom of God advancing. Now, all the prophets are speaking about transition. Everywhere I go, everywhere I tune, there's that word of transition. And we're in a time right now of kingdom transitions. We're in the time where we are transitioning from one level to another level. From one glory to another glory. Because that's how He sanctifies us. That's how He matures us. He takes us from glory to glory. From understanding to revelation to illumination to impartation. He keeps bringing the bar higher. He's that good. It's like sometimes we go like, hey, can it get better? Yes. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. See, and that's why the devil goes after you all the time. He's trying to afflict you. He's trying to like get your eyes off the kingdom. If you are sitting around and you constantly are sitting around talking about what's wrong, you got the wrong lenses on. You got to snap on the lenses of the kingdom. And so we got to make some transitions about how we see, how we talk, how we walk. Because kingdom transition is is how heaven is moving us from living from the world values to being people who replicate the values of the kingdom of God, the culture of God, and the truth of God on the earth. We need to embrace the transitions because they're going to produce in us that which we need in the moment. Where the glory of God comes and the power of God comes and all the things we've been praying for and praying into and revival breaks out and reformation comes out of revival and transformation is what takes up places in the city. We have got to be ready and positioned right. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. What does that look like? Because the kingdom of God is something that I enter into, but largely a vast portions of believers have hung around the gates of the kingdom. They entered into the kingdom. They got saved. They entered the kingdom and they stayed at salvation. They stated salvation, the gates of salvation. Salvation is beautiful. We should never, ever, ever lose sight of the glory of our salvation. We should never lose sight. Come on, there's a lot in the epistles about our salvation. Our salvation is glorious and salvation is wonderful, but there is so much more. He saved us to get us into the kingdom that we may explore and know more. Come on. Now, listen. Yeah, there we go. There's a lot of people just drinking of the milk and not moving on to the meat. And so, if God is ever going to do this brand new thing on the earth, and the Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing, that means it has never existed on the earth before. Right. So, you don't know what it looks like because there's no definition for it because it has not existed before. So, I don't believe that we can help usher that in unless we start transitioning deeper into the kingdom. That we've been to take on these transitions that I'm seeing. Now, we're going to enter this kingdom. We enter the kingdom through repentance. And that's a lifestyle in the kingdom. That's I continue to let go of the old thinking. I continue to let go of the old mindset. I'm walking in the kingdom, and finally I find, I hit a brick wall. And usually the brick wall is an old mindset thinking. It's usually part of the world system, part of what seems normal and natural to us. But suddenly he says, no, I brought you into something supernatural. For you to break through, you got to take on a kingdom mindset for this position right now. That's why the kingdom has everything to do with all of our life. Everything to do with all of our life. And part of this series is going to be, it's going to get really real about our lives and the kingdom. It's not just ethereal notes, let's go win the world. We will. When we start breaking through. The kingdom of God is something that we got to press into. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 11:12. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And everyone is pressing into it. And that word pressing into it means that this thing is moving. And I got to jump on it. And I got to grab a hold of it. And then I got to keep moving with it. That's what pressing in means. I can't just like be passive about it. And I tell you, passivity is the enemy of the gospel of the kingdom. Passivity is the enemy of the gospel of the kingdom. If you want to know why the kingdom is advancing in other nations, maybe more than in America, it's because of the passivity that is in this nation that has got to get broken. It's got to get broken off the church. Oh, here I go preaching. But it's got to happen because it's keeping us bound. Yes, amen. This weekend, the Lord just confirmed in my spirit this whole thing about the kingdom. So as you hear today, and I'll try to get back into some teaching because I'm going to have points. I want you to get out some notes. I got 14 points. Whoa! Whoa! Wow, it's scary. And they not all will apply to you, but some will speak to you and you'll go, boom, okay, I'm there. That's the one I've got to press into. So as you hear this, take inventory. Because of what I think that we need to know, am I embracing that? Am I even perceiving that? And what do I got to press into more? So I just encourage you by the Holy Spirit to listen. There are 14 transitions taking place right now in the kingdom of God that I'm going to highlight. There's more than that, by the way. But where the church has been to where he's leading us, there are 14 transitions we're going to talk about today. So first of all, I believe that the first transition is that we're transitioning from looking forward to going to heaven to focusing on bringing heaven to earth. Come on. Yeah, I can stop there. Because heaven is a wonderful promise. I love the song by Ida Crouch. But if heaven was never promised to me, even life eternally, it's still worth just serving the Lord. Listen. You're going to get there. Don't waste your life thinking and dreaming about it. Start getting there here. That's why you're here. That is why you're here. That is why you're here. What do I mean by bringing heaven here? In heaven, there is the power to heal. In heaven, there's provision for everything. The power to deliver. The power to bring the glory of God to earth. So if I ascend into the hill of the Lord and I've got cancer, where I go, cancer can't enter. Come on. There's something that the Lord, a breakthrough in our mindset that God wants to bring us into. Matthew 9:35. Whoops, sorry. I guess the scripture's right here. When Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The kingdom is demonstrated. It's not just talked about. The kingdom is demonstrated. This is what heaven is like. Your sickness has no place. Your affliction has no room. So we got to start thinking about, I'm going to heaven, but my role as long as I'm on earth is how do I bring more of heaven to earth? Secondly, we're transitioning from being servants of God to being the friends of God. Matthew 9:35. Excuse me, John, sorry. 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have been made known to you. Listen to this. Moses served the house of God as a servant. Jesus in Hebrews says that he served the house of God as a son. The Lord has transitioned us from serving as servants to serving as sons. But he's transitioned us into relating with him, not just as sons, but as friends. One of the greatest treasures that happens in a parent's life is when their kids actually make that transition in life. Where they're not just their son and daughter, but they become their friend. And the Father is awaiting that transition. And God wants some of you right now to get a hold of that transition and say, Lord, I've been in a season where I've been learning how to be a son. But Father, I want to enter into the season where I learn how to be your friend. And I had a message on that. You could probably still get it back on the CD table. No, the next one, we're transitioning from being this elder brother to being spiritual fathers and mothers. Who restore the prodigals and prepare a feast for those coming back to the house of the Lord. Come on, the church has got to transition from the elder brother spirit to the spirit of the Father. Because the first wave that's going to come when the glory bomb explodes over this nation is that all the prodigals who were out there doing their stuff are going to realize how broken and how empty and how just insane it is to live without Jesus. And they're going to want to come home. And there needs to be some people who are going to go like, well, there you are. You finally learned your lesson. All right, we'll take your place in the back of the line. Let's show yourself that you're worthy enough to be with us again. We got to let go of that. And we got to take on the spirit of the Father who runs out and embraces them and welcomes them and puts a robe around them and celebrates and throws a party. Says, you were lost, but now you're found. Yeah. Woo! That's a transition we've got to make in this season. Because God is not calling us in this season to become spiritual elder brothers, but spiritual fathers and mothers to those who had tremendous brokenness because of the years they spent wasting their life without Jesus. Second, another one. I don't know what this number this is. We're transitioning from waiting for the return of Jesus to occupying and taking ground till he returns, extending the kingdom into the workplace, into schools and cities. Come on. Jesus said this through a parable, occupy till I come. And that word is a military word that says, steward the victory, extend it till I get back. Come on. Steward the victory and extend it till I get back. So, if you're just like, man, the return of Jesus is going to be glorious. But he's waiting. He's waiting for us to do this. And I'll show you why in here in another minute. This all goes together. Here's a big one for the church in America. We're transitioning from educationally derived authority to authority that comes from the Word becoming life and truth in us. Authority that from the abiding in the Word. Oh, for so long, we're like, how much Scripture do you know? Listen, knowing Scriptures is really good. But the real important issue is how much Scripture do you live? That is the key. You have to know in order to live. But your authority comes from living the Scripture, living the Word. Jesus was the living Word of God. He was the Word of God made manifest. And he's looking for sons and daughters who manifest the Word of God, that they know, that they've read, that they manifest the love, they manifest the power, they manifest the truth of the Word of God. That is a transition that we've got to move into. How much? Listen, we're being transitionally from... We're transitioning into, that should be into, relationally derived authority. Again, this goes with the last one. It's not how much I know, but who I know. It's not how much I know, but who I know. Out of the intimacy of our relationship with Jesus flows power. Come on. Peter and John went to the temple to pray. And there was a guy there, and he was broken, and he wasn't even praying for asking to be healed. He just said, just give me something to get by. And he said, I don't have what you got to get by, but what I do have will change your life forever. Because residing in me is the power of the risen Savior. So get up and walk. Come on. Come on. Get up and walk. There is something about the sons of God walking on the earth because they walk in the power of the Spirit, because they walk in the knowledge of the one who loved them and gave up his life for them. They walk in that place of authority that even demons have to yield. Listen, 1/3 of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. There's millions of people in America oppressed by demons that need to be set free. But the demons will obey those who are the sons of God, who walk in the power and the authority of God. There's a great story in the book of Acts where Paul goes into a town. There's just lots of people afflicted by the devil. And he's casting devils left and right. And these guys are going like, oh, look at that, man. We can do that. So they go, they find one guy who's all demonized. And they walk up to him and they say, we cast you out in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demon says to them, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but we don't know you. Boom! And they just beat the guys, and they had all 7 of them got beat up, and they had to run. They were bleeding and they were naked. Wow. Our authority comes from walking in the Spirit with confidence from our relationship as we obey his commandments. Come on. Transitioning to a relationally derived authority. We're also transitioning from calling out sin to calling out treasure. That's a hard one for some people. Okay? From calling out sin to calling out treasure. Show me one place where Jesus changed somebody's life because he called out their sin. Zacchaeus. What a scoundrel. A thief. A tax collector who absolutely was the worst of his town. Jesus comes. Zacchaeus, I see you. I'll have dinner with you. Zacchaeus right away starts repenting and throwing his money. He says, I'm giving back to the poor. I'm changing my life because he wants to be with me. Wasn't Zacchaeus, you're a filthy sinner. Zacchaeus, I want to be with you. Peter, you sinner, follow me. No. Peter is fishing night and day. Nothing happens. And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. He says, okay, I'll humor you. It's been on that side, the other side. Nothing's happened, man. What are you like? What? Okay. Cast the nets on that side. Pulls up. So many fish. The nets almost break. Come on. What was Peter's response? Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. What is Jesus' response? Yes, you are. You're terrible. Hey, follow me. Let's go fish for men. It's easy to find what's wrong with people. It takes the eyes of the kingdom to see their destiny and their purpose and call them into it. We have to have the eyes of the Father in this season. Wow. Listen, the focus of the New Testament is not so much what we're being called out of, but what we're called being called up to. That's the focus of the New Testament. Not so much what we're called out of, but what we're called up to. He says, well, what about telling people to repent for their sins? Yes, you can do that. And that's actually in the scriptures. But when did Peter say to repent? When they said, after he heard their beautiful, awesome message about who Jesus is, then they said, what must we do to be saved? Repent. Turn around. Let go of that. Get baptized. Come into the kingdom. You will receive refreshing. It's always about the treasure that awaits. Romans 2:4 says this. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Wow. You see that. You see that all over scripture, man. You see that. We see that when we go on the streets. Man, we're not hellfire and brimstone people. We're goodness of God people. And we see people all the time saying, yes, I want that Jesus. Come on. Now listen. Here's the next one. We're transitioning from allowing the natural physical limitations dictate our future. In other words, seeing the resistance in the wall and say, I guess I can't go any further. There's no more money. There's no more provision. There's no more help. We're transitioning from that to seeing the supernatural, miraculous opportunities that are available to us when we focus on what the Father has said and what He has provided. Come on, this is a transition of faith. This is a transition that looks at a wall and says that you cannot stand in my way. Just because you're there does not mean that I actually don't have authority over you. Come on. 1 Corinthians 9:9 says this. It is written, eyes have not seen or ears have heard or enter into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But here's the thing, how it ends. But God has revealed it to them through His Holy Spirit. So you say, hey, Lord, this is an impossible situation. Show me what you prepared. Show me what you prepared. Come on, and you start doing warfare with what God has prepared. You start calling the things that are not as though they are, and suddenly you make a transition from living as a natural man in the natural world to living as a supernatural new creation in Christ Jesus and released in the supernatural to break the natural and to break the impossible and release the glory of God. Come on, come on. Here's one. We're transitioning from pastoring churches to pastoring parishes. What's a parish? Well, in the old school days, a parish is all the territory that church was responsible for. And they saw that all those people belonged to the parish. They didn't see, well, this is it. This is all for Father's house. If we start getting the hold of this mindset, then we see this entire school belonging to Father's house. We start seeing this entire neighborhood belong. You start seeing that where you live start belonging to Father's house. Where you live starts belonging. We stop seeing. Come on. We stop seeing and saying, wait a minute, I'm responsible to pastor my world. I love what we're doing. Ty and Danino, who are ministering at a conference this weekend down in Eugene, he's putting together just a group of pastors in this church. I am thankful for all the pastors he's brought to our church. There's more pastors here than we've ever had before. We're going to start releasing you, appointing you, and anointing you to go and take care of the sheep. I'm so excited about that. But if you only take care of the sheep of this house, then we have not made the transition. It is time for the prophets of this house to start to prophesy on the streets. It's time for the prophets of this house to start getting out and prophesying to people. It's time for the teachers of this house to start teaching those outside the house. Come on, come on. It is time that we start taking a parish mindset about the world that we live in. So whatever gifts you carry, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that you carry it for the world because that's the way the kingdom is extended. Come on. So we get that? It's a big transition. It's a big transition. Because some of you are like, oh man, the Spirit of the Lord is moving up. I want to get up and prophesy at church like Barbie. Listen, if that's the goal, ask Barbie how many times she prophesies a week. A lot more than what she does here. That's true. People you see, people you know, she always tells me the story. Blah, 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 and God gave me a word for them. Boom. Wow. I just want some, I mean, I think someday I just see this big, glorious, big celebration. Everybody's just telling stories. Oh, how I pastored with people this week, and how we prophesied people this week, how we taught people this week, how we led people into the kingdom this week. Come on. That is just the transition that I feel God, that God is just bringing us into as a body. But now here's another one. Transitioning from being separate from the world to being the light of the world. I grew up in that mindset. Separate yourselves from the world that you may not be contaminated by the sinful world that you live in. Here's the deal. Darkness can't contaminate light. Light contaminates darkness. Light displaces darkness. Come on. The light that is in you is the light of the glory of the Lord. Darkness cannot overcome light. In fact, Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing that you may become blameless and harmless. Ooh, there's a kingdom concept right there. We've got to transition to that one. Whoa. Because in the kingdom, complaining and disputing, it's just not a kingdom thing. It's not. It's a worldly thing. That you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Where do we shine as lights in the world? In the midst of perversion. What? I got to go into perversion? Yes. It will stay dark until you go there. Come on. Come on. It's time to stop being afraid of the world, because God's power to preserve and keep you from falling is bigger than Satan's power to pervert you and make you fall. Here's the next one. We're transitioning from identifying as sinners saved by grace to being saints empowered by grace. Oh, now listen. It's a powerful testimony to be a sinner saved by grace. It is a powerful testimony. But the greater transition is the testimony that I am now a saint. Go ahead and scour all the epistles. Do you ever read an epistle where it says, I, Paul the apostle, to the sinners of Ephesus, the sinners of Philippians? No, no, to the saints. You've been translated into the kingdom of the Son, and you are now a saint because of the appointment of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, because you were reconciled to Him at the cross, and on the other side of the resurrection, you come out as a saint. Come on, now we're in process. Not everything about it is it. We're in transition, right? We're making all, we're, okay, we're not supposed to argue. We're not supposed to, okay, got it. Now that's all sinner stuff, and I gotta be looking at saint stuff. But we need to move from the sin consciousness to a grace consciousness. Well, my focus is not that the sin that has power over my life, but that the grace that has power to overcome sin. Come on. Grace that has power to overcome sin, because it's power, the God, Satan's power, God's power is stronger than Satan's power to condemn. God's power to deliver is Satan's stronger than Satan's power to condemn. And because of this, we're transitioning from a condemnation driven life to a conviction driven life. Lots of Christians, when they're stuck in the I'm a sinner saved by grace, it's easy to live under condemnation and think that they're just, boy, if I have enough condemnation, I won't sin. But here's the problem with condemnation. Condemnation makes you feel like dirt. Makes you feel like you want to hide. Makes you feel like you're not good enough. Makes you feel like, boy, if I share people with that, I won't be loved. I will be cast out. Condemnation really works hand in hand with shame. And shame is how the enemy keeps you in pride. That's another message. So, because that's the only way you can overcome shame, is to take up pride. Because you can't live in shame. Your brain won't let you live there. So you'll have to take up pride. But conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. It says, yeah, you know, there's something wrong with you, but here's the exchange that I got. I got something for you. The conviction draws you to the Father. Condemnation drives you away. And so we have to start living a life and say that I'm beginning to discern and judge. Am I walking under condemnation right now, or I'm walking under conviction? Because I don't need condemnation. I don't receive condemnation. I will not accept condemnation. I will only receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit to work in my life and lead me into righteousness, peace, and joy in the kingdom. So, all right? Now, Romans 8:1. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a key there about having no condemnation. Walk with Jesus. Walk fully embracing Jesus where he can see all the stuff, right? Where you're not hiding the stuff. And Jesus can see the stuff. He's like, yeah, I see the stuff. Let's work on it. I got victory for you there. I got freedom for you there. And then there's no condemnation because I'm being open before Jesus with my stuff. And then I walk according to the Spirit. In other words, I'm walking in a place of surrender. Conviction? Good thing. Thank God for conviction. Whoa. Man, it's such a, it's just a redeeming thing. Transitioning from giving to satisfy needs. I want to be a blessing, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But there's a new level where the Lord is saying, you're going to start to give to honor. Because honor is such a kingdom culture. There's a story in the Bible about giving. It was the woman who came when Jesus was at the dinner on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to be crucified. And the woman came in. She broke the box of alabaster at his feet. Jesus did not need that. There was no need for it. In fact, Judas got really upset and was like, man, that could have gone to the poor. That was probably about $40,000 wasted right there. But what was that? That was giving to honor. The kingdom, honor is a big thing. And there's a transition. God wants to give us enough provision and enough abundance that we stop just having to give to needs and start giving to honor. And you don't have to do that with money. You don't have to do that with treasure. You can do that with your time. You can do that with your words. You can do that with many ways. Finally, last one. We're transitioning from praying for the sick to healing the sick, which is what Jesus taught us. I still hear a lot of people praying for the sick. Nowhere in the Bible do you see Jesus ever pray for the sick. And did he never told us to pray for the sick? James says, go to the elders and they'll pray for you. That's about the only time that I can see. Maybe Matthew can remember a couple more. But really, honestly, what did Jesus do? He commanded healing. He commanded healing. Here's just two examples I'm going to give you. And they're just all over the New Testament. In fact, every example of healing was commanded healing. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. No prayer, no travailing, no anything. Declaring the word of healing. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. There's a story in the New Testament where just Peter walked and his shadow healed people. There was no praying involved. It was the presence of Jesus that he carried. He didn't even have to speak it. Listen. November 1st, we're going to have Steve Trollinger back, and he's come from Africa, and he's operating at another level of supernatural miraculous. And what Steve does is he just releases. He makes you do it. He makes you walk in it. So he's going to be here November 1st, so it's going to be an amazing time. But listen, I don't have time to give all the examples, but we've got to get a hold of discipline. We've got to stop praying, and we have to start declaring, yes, it's a bigger risk. It's a lot easier to say, oh, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray you heal. It's way easier because then we put it on God. And it is God that does the healing. Because he told you to speak healing. So Matthew 10:7-8 says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I love that. It's just like, oh, when you go, just heal, just raise the dead. Well, how? I command death to go and life to come. That's it. People who raise the dead, that's what they do. Yes, they don't give up. They keep fighting with the thing until it happens. Or God says, that's okay. Move on. They're gone now. I spent some time with David Hogan. And I asked David Hogan, wow, like, how do you know when you're supposed to pray for the dead? And he told me, he looks at me with that, only if you guys know David Hogan, the way he looks. He looks at me, he goes, when they're dead. Oh, I thought it was more spiritual than that. I thought I had a word of knowledge or something like that. No, when they're dead. How have they raised 600 people from the dead? Because they pray for a lot of dead people. Thousands. And that's the risk that we've got to start taking, the risk of transition. We've got to cross the chicken line right now and start saying, I'm going to start declaring the word of the Lord. All right, I want the band to come up. Thank you. The history of the battle for planet Earth will end with this amazing cry. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever. Man, I feel that right now when I said that. How glorious is that going to be? When all the kingdoms who are fighting to bring justice, when all the kingdoms who are trying to end poverty, the king comes in and goes, I got the answer. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. The reasons this has not yet happened is because the church has not yet fulfilled the Matthew 28 commandment to disciple the nations in the gospel of the kingdom. Make disciples of all people groups with what? How to be saved? Yes. But the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to explore the gospel of the kingdom in the coming weeks. What is this gospel of the kingdom? Come on. It's so vast. It's so amazing. It has everything to do with your life. How you raise your kids. Mm-hmm. How you wake up and you go to bed. So let me ask this. How are we doing? How are we doing with these transitions? Was there a transition you said like, Lord, I need to press into that more. I need to press into that more. Is there a transition where you said, man, I know that there's a level of glory waiting for me. And I need the grace of God right now for me to leave the old wine, the things that I've known and done in this area, to move into the brand new area. Because there's a higher plane of righteousness, there's a higher plane of peace, and there's a higher plane of joy that awaits us with every transition. Every time we break through into a new level in the kingdom, there's a higher level of righteousness, there's a higher level of peace, and there's a higher level of joy that we walk in. I want everybody to close your eyes.